Jay Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Thank you, Beth, as we dive into another edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Trevor Hollis joining me again in the co-host seat this week as we're live in the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with the podcast via Twitter at TJSlideways, on the Facebook page for TJSlideways.com, also via email podcast at TJSlideways.com. Trevor, good to have you joining me again this week in the co-host seat. Hope it's starting to get comfy and you had a good weekend.
It is. It is. Always good to be here. Excited to talk sprint car racing once again with you, TJ, as we recap a busy weekend.
Business is picking up, but let's deal with the immediate tragic situation over at Volusia Speedway Park last night with a multiple car crash, Dale Blaney crashing into the pit area, approximately kind of in the same area Joe Saldana crashed in, the same general area. Three spectators were transported. As of this afternoon, there's no real other updates available right now. Gary Streak from the United Kingdom was discharged early this morning, according to Dirt Car press release. Also, Justin Allgaier Motorsports released a statement that their crew chief, Kelly Koviski, he's still hospitalized at Halifax Hospital right now, but in stable condition. And then, unfortunately, the one that hits close to home for us, Trevor, Michael Brooks, the father of Kalamazoo Speedway late model driver Bubba Brooks, his father, Michael, still in serious condition over at Halifax Health Medical Center. Last that we knew, he is still in the hospital. So two of the spectators still in the hospital. Dirt Car also releasing a statement about the safety at Volusia Speedway Park. And Trevor, I know our thoughts and prayers are all with everyone involved in this incident, including Dale.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for as tragic as it is and everything, first and foremost, you just wish that everybody is okay and hope everybody comes around. And it's a small community. The racing community is a small community. And we're all of our thoughts and prayers are, of course, with all three of the people that were involved in the incident. And a lot of people in the racing world making mention, not to forget about Dale Blaney, because one of the nice guys in the sport, and it's got to shake him up tremendously. He just wants to go out there and put on a show and he doesn't want the fans to be part of that show. So
So everyone involved there, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And we will continue to update that story as it develops throughout the next couple of weeks. Now, this was a big week for the World of Outlaws and the All-Star Circuit of Champions. And what more can we say about Donnie Schatz? His Florida trip this year, 5 of 8 races overall in victory lane. Doubled up on Sunday, picking up feature victories twice on Sunday, the Sunday makeup show from Saturday and also the Sunday night program, emerging from Volusia Speedway Park as the World of Outlaws point leader. And Trevor, it's kind of interesting. He's building up his lead much earlier in the season this year.
You know, you and I talked about it earlier, but man, thinking about what we talked about a couple weeks ago about the possible switch to the Ford engines, you wonder if he's trying to get a little bit of a cushion there so he can have a couple so-called throwaway nights as he tries to work in that Ford power plant. But yeah, he was just dominant. Whether it was an all-star show, the outlaw show, it didn't appear that anybody had anything for Donnie Schatz all weekend.
Yeah, Trevor, there's someone else. Who are you impressed with over at Volusia?
Jason Johnson. Jason Johnson, he picked up one of the wins of the three nights, top fives the other two. So Jason Johnson had a great start to his year, especially coming off of the big announcement that they're going to be chasing the full tour in 2017.
Yeah, with Jennifer Marshall and her husband joining with Priority Aviation as co-owners on that car. I think one of the best things about Johnson is they overcame, you know, they crashed hard at the All-Star Show, took a night off, came back, got the victory, and they actually wrecked another car the last night at Volusia, and but emerged out of there essentially the second regular in the point standings right now, because they're sitting third with Chad Kamenaugh, which we'll talk about in a minute, between himself and Schatz, but a solid top three coming out of that into the points. They're going to be a contender for the championship, I think. Now, that leads me into my other person that really impressed me this week, Chad Kamenaugh. After, you know, being a little bit surprising. I thought he'd have a better performance over at Ocala. Man, did he light it up at Volusia. He got a top five, two top tens with the Outlaws, and he's second in World of Outlaw points right now.
Yeah, Chad Kemenaw running the, I think, a very limited Outlaw schedule. Basically, if you're down in Florida, you're going to be racing with both if you got a 410 motor, because what else are you going to do down there? But yeah, he picked up solid top 10 finishes both nights, and a top five on that, I think, was the first night. And yeah, he's sitting there in the second spot. He's got 2-point advantage over Jason Johnson. You mentioned Johnson being one of the guys that's going to run. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of shakeup in the points, but yeah, great start for Chad Kemenaw.
So an interesting thing happened today. Chad Kemenaw's car owner, Rob Hunter, kind of slipped out on Twitter, hey, we're second in points. Maybe we should take the team out west. And, of course, we immediately hit on that. I immediately hit the message to Rob and Rita. I'm like, you guys serious? I mean, are you guys going to do this? And as of right now, as of this afternoon, it was mainly talk at this point. But right now, they don't really have the budget to do it. But man, if something came up, they wouldn't be opposed to making that trip. So if some sponsorship comes up along the way, we could see Chad Kemenaw make that trip out west. But more than likely not. But at this point, but if the right offer came across, that would be a possibility. So an interesting development there. With the 10-H team, more than likely still sticking to the plan, but who knows, if someone opened up the checkbook, they might head west. Trevor, who else were you impressed with?
Well, it's hard not to be impressed with Donnie Schatz. I know that's kind of a curveball at you, but it's hard not to look at him and just marvel and kind of think that maybe, is this what the rest of the field felt like during the late 80s and 90s when Steve Kenser was in his prime, and it was basically Steve Kinzer, in this case Donnie Schatz, versus the rest of the field.
Well, and that's the thing, though. I mean, Kinzer had rivals and clear rivals in Sammy Swindell and Doug Wolfgang. And later on with Mark Kinzer, there's a clear rivalry there, and Sammy's still in play. It's kind of interesting. There hasn't been a definitive number two or number three that's come out of the pack yet with Schatz. It's kind of, I think that's kind of the difference in the two eras, kind of living through both of them, is that Schatz is just a clear number one. There is, you know, where the number two's by committee almost at this point, you know, from year to year. But I think Johnson could be that guy. I mean, if they have a little more backing now with the Marshals behind him, Priority Aviation stepping up this year, it could be interesting. That team's really clicking right now. Now, a couple of teams I expected to do better. Shane Stewart coming out 14th in points. Bunch of various problems, just little problems all week. Seems like they spent as much time in the work area as anybody. Did not expect Shane to be coming out of Volusia 14th in points, though.
Yeah, you know, recently he did an interview where he talked about last season here. He had a streak of bad luck, and he had a couple of places that he actually, one place he didn't make the feature, and another place that he finished well deep in the pack, and it cost him over 100 points. And man, it just seems like he's starting his 2017 season off that way. Huge hole to dig out of. Yeah. But like some of the other top teams, Donnie Schatz, the Larson Marks team, they have a lot of financial backing, and it's early in the season, a 90 plus race schedule. I think there's time for guys like Shane Stewart to dig themselves out. You know, one guy that I was impressed with, but also I thought he could have had a great speed week or great Florida weeks if he wanted to, was David Gravel. And it wasn't even just his fault. He just had some rotten luck equipment.
He did end up at the driller, or not the driller, but the big gator at the end.
The gator.
So he won the overall. I expected him to pick up more wins, but man, four engines in 1 week. I mean, think about this. They just finished the Florida swing, so there's like five races right there, you know, three Outlaw shows. They get a little breather, but man, they got to go head out west, and you're down already on, you know, equipment, you know, or had that luck. But I mean, the way they bounced back on Sunday night, saying quick time and just being that competitive at the end and coming home with that gate, the big gator overall, I think shows that team's resilience. And that's the other person that could be a threat for the championship.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. You know, looking at the points, Darren Pittman was another guy that had a pretty rough weekend. Still sitting in the top 10 in points, but two top fives was all he could come up with out of the three races. And he was a perennial guy too.
If you look at the top 10 right now, the Outlaws, there's a lot of non-Outlaw regulars right up there. I believe a couple in the top five even. So it's going to shake up a bit more. The field's really deep in Florida, and I don't see it getting much thinner out on the West Coast, though. Not until weekly racing really starts up around April. That'll thin the herd a little bit, and some of these guys can really climb their way up a bit more. But right now, it's tough sledding for these teams because you have guys like Brian Brown and Kerry Madsen that are going to be likely racing elsewhere at some point this year. But you got to take those guys on. They're as good as any outlaw team out there.
Yeah. Yep. So you mentioned Chad Kemenaw on that top. He's in second in points, and I would love to see him. It would be a blow to the All-Stars, I think, but I'd love to see him race for a World of Outlaw points. He did it a few years ago, and he's got the equipment to do it. Just I don't know if he's got the pockets to do it.
No, I don't think – I think there's a depth of equipment and funding there. I mean, the travel and the cost of the travel and stuff is just so great. I think that team does need a little more backing to be able to do it the way they want to do it. Chad came off of doing his own deal – not really wanting to go back. If he went back, he wants to do it right. Mm-hmm. And he knows what it's like to not have some of the pieces you need. And it's such a struggle. And I don't think he wants to go back to that. So I think they would do it if someone like all of a sudden backed up the Brinks truck and they're able to go on the road. But I don't see that happening quite yet. But you never know. Something could eventually pop up in there. So that's going to wrap up our first segment for this weekend's podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Tyler Courtney here on the TJSlideways.com podcast. Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Oshwegan Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Tyler Courtney, good to have you on the podcast this evening. We're coming in off of the off season, so before you went indoor racing, what did you do to kind of fill the very short, quote-unquote, off season, if one really exists?
The way the racing is now, there's not a lot of off season anymore with racing kind of all through the winter and the indoor stuff and all that. But there's a little short one. But now we just really just I've been helping the Clawson team move shops and get their stuff going in the right direction. And then I've been up to the sprint car shop a couple times, make sure they're all going in the right direction for the upcoming season. So. And then, obviously, we raced a couple times. We raced over DeCoin and with USAC for the Canepa race. And then I went to the Tulsa shootout and ran down there. And then, obviously, went to Chili Bowl. And then that's really the end of the offseason. We come home and kind of tidy everything up. And now we're down here in Florida.
Tyler, that you mentioned the Junior Canepa race, that was one I wanted to lead off with here, is that was kind of a unique opportunity for you. You got the win there. Tell us about that run. There's kind of a backstory to DeQuain and how magical that track is for you.
Yeah, no, so it was my first kind of real race with Brian and his team back in, it would have been 2010 because I ran Chili Bowl in 2011. So, kind of my first real midget race there, and we led some laps there early in 2010, and then I made the rookie mistake and spun out leading and took out some guys with me, and I think we ended up running like six or so in the race. But no, it was pretty cool to go back there this year with Tim and really Brian's team, so to say, that he's put together without kind of knowing it, and to get a win. And with my first race with these guys it was really cool, really special, and kind of hard to put into words, but yeah, it was really cool.
great way to set the stage with a new team and lead into, you know, that was the end of 2016, kind of lead into your 2017. You partnered back up with them for the Chili Bowl, and you had another heck of a night with them when on your qualifying night.
Yeah, no, definitely put momentum on our side, and obviously in this sport, you're going to take any kind of momentum you can get, because it doesn't come around very often. When it comes, you got to take advantage of it. So, yeah, led in the Tuesday night where we had a good night all around. We started fourth in our heat race and won that. I think we started sixth and ran third in our qualifier, and that put us on the pole for the feature. And had a little of a battle there with Larson, and he ended up spinning out and tipping over there with about 10 to go or so, and kind of took not so much a whole lot of pressure, but took quite a bit of pressure off for the end of that race. And we were able to pick up the win and park it for BC, which is really it's even harder to put into words how much that race meant and what it's going to mean for the rest of my career. I mean, to do that with the team we went there with, and with Tim and their whole family there, it's really cool.
Yeah, it seems like events at the Chili Bowl always bring out the strongest emotions, and I can only imagine what it was like to partner with that and definitely put one in victory lane, park it for BC, and that was great to see.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, surprise. I mean, certainly it's pretty big win for my career, but the Chili Bowl win is gonna be at the top for a while. I'd have to say, even if it wasn't on Saturday, that just the whole combination of what led to that win is what's going to stick out for a long time.
Speaking of the Clawson family, a lot of people might not know your backstory. I didn't know a lot of it until last August, where at one point at the start of your career, you're pretty much the kid sweeping the floor in the shop there. And you go from that to driving that car, but I know you have a great story about how you were sweeping the floor and how you got your first opportunity with them.
Yeah, so I mean, I've raced since I was 6 years old, but my parents could only take me to a certain point. So we got to a point where they're like, "Hey, you're gonna have to figure out how to do this on your own." So I had met Brian and Tim at one of the national events for Fordham Midgets back in like 2005 or something like that. And, so when I turned 15, I showed up to Brian and Tim's shop and just kind of said, "Hey, I want to be a race car driver. I don't really have the capability to do it or the funds to do it right now, but this is something I want to do and I'm serious about it." And they're like, "All right, well, we don't really have the funds to pay you, but you can come help us all you want. And if you show us that this is something you really want to do, we'll build a car for the end of the year at Kokomo." And I stuck with them all year. We won a lot of races. I learned a lot. We had a lot of fun. And everybody's like, "Oh, man, what are you guys doing different than everybody?" I was like, we got Brian. Like, that's the only reason. That's our biggest advantage over everybody." And so the summer of 2010 was pretty cool. And showed up to Kokomo for the Clash at the end of the year. And, I made one lap and turned the midget over. And so that's why I consider the coin my real first midget race before the Chili Bowl. And so that's kind of how it went. But yeah, I spent a whole summer with them and trying to prove that this is something I actually wanted to do. And it's worked out so far.
So kids listening out there, if you're wondering how to break into racing and you might not have the pocketbook other people are, you can put in the work like Tyler Courtney and work hard to eventually get there. You are going to race the full season with the Clawson Marshall team and the midgets. You've got to feel great about that. I mean, because A, the team can fix a car quick. We learned that at the Chili Bowl. But you got to. But with all that experience and stuff, you've got it in the performance at the Chili Bowl and indoors. You got to be stoked about your midget ride this year.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. This is definitely one of the best opportunities I've ever had to go for a championship. And I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, Tim and Rizzy and those guys have proven they can win. They did that with Brian, and so as long as I can do my part, I think we're gonna have a pretty good shot at competing with Keith and his guys. I'm hoping that they're thinking the same thing. They're gonna have to beat us. So It's going to be a pretty good year.
Yeah, and also on the sprint car side, you've come up with a pretty good combination now. How did you end up getting hooked up with Top Motorsports?
So Top Motorsports literally started in 2016, but my dad works for Elliott's Trailer Sales, and so Kevin, the owner, came in one day and he needed a trailer for one of his Camaros or something like that. And, he'd always been a race fan, and so we got him to come to Kokomo for the Outlaw Show in 2015. Yeah, 2015, and he sponsored me there, and he sponsored me at Knoxville that year. I ran for Bernie in the Indy Race Parts car, and at the end of 2015, we were going to Charlotte. And he's like, "Hey, what do we need to do to make sure you get the best stuff possible to show up down there?" And so he ended up buying a car and a motor, and we showed up to Charlotte and made the show one of the nights and had some bad luck the other night. And over the off season there, I thought he was just going to come on board and sponsor me and I'd take care of it all on my own. And he ended up buying everything that I had left for my race team and starting his own up in Rochester. And we kind of set out last year to just kind of do an outlaw type schedule with the wing and non-wing stuff. And had some really good success, obviously, with the non-wing car, and which kind of led us into competing for a USAC national championship. They wanted to go for a championship, and they're like, "What do you feel like is our best opportunity?" And I told them, obviously, we finished 16 in the top 10, 16 times out of the 17 times we ran the USAC car. So I think that's what the direction we need to go. That's kind of the backstory on kind of how it all came together. It's just the right place at the right time.
Tyler, do you have any plans to run more wing shows in 2017?
Yeah, we're going to do about 10 to 15 wing shows. I think our first race is going to be with the Outlaws there at Plymouth. It's about 20 miles from our shop. So we'll do that, and we'll probably put the wings on for the Less Race 2 at Eldora, and I'm sure we may hit a couple of Ohio Speedweek shows and stuff like that. Just depends on how much it conflicts with the USAC schedule, because obviously that's our main priority. So as long as nothing conflicts with that, we're going to put the wing on.
You know, a lot of guys talk about comparing the wing cars to the non-wing cars. And of course you run a lot of the midget shows. What is your take on comparing the two? Which would you prefer to do? You know, points racing aside, which would you prefer to strap into every night?
I've grown up in Indiana. So, I mean, non-wing kind of has my heart, but, wing racing's fun, man. It's a blast. But if I had to choose one, it'd probably be non-wing racing, just because that's what I've grown up around, and that's what I started in, and that's what I'm ultimately better at. But I mean, as a career moving forward, I think I'd much rather run the wing stuff, go on the Outlaw Tour, and I mean, any sprint car driver that grows up around sprint car racing, their goal is to be a full time outlaw. So, but as of right now, I'd rather go non-wing racing. If I had to choose one of the two to go race tonight, I'd choose non-wing. That's what my heart's at right now. That's my decision.
Tyler, what are your USAC Silver Crown plans for this year? You got to do some races last year. Were very competitive in all of them. What do your Silver Crown plans look like?
Still in the works right now. Actually, I was talking with a couple of different guys today about their cars, so hopefully I'll find out here in the next week or so if I can get in that. If I do anything, though, it'll just be all the dirt races for the Crown Series. Not a lot of guys have both the pavement and dirt cars, but the couple guys I've talked to at least have dirt cars. They want to go do all the dirt stuff, but nothing set in stone right now. So, but hopefully here in the next couple weeks we'll get something locked down where I can at least go do the dirt Crown races.
You mentioned you're ready for Florida. You might be in Florida right now, for all we know. And Ocala's coming up, Bubba Raceway Park, the opener. That's a very unique racetrack. How do you approach that place? Because it looks different than anything else you'll see all season.
Yeah, it's definitely a different place. Actually, I haven't been there since 2013, which is my rookie year. And we actually ran second last night. I was down there. But no, it's a completely different track. It's an old pavement track. It's got a very wide 1 and 2. It wraps around to a hairpin in 3 and 4, so to say. And it's really sandy. And some nights it's heavy, some nights it may tick rubber. So you just kind of got to be up on your game, watching the track, and just kind of be ready for anything that it's going to throw at you. So it's definitely a tough place to start the year at, but it's a fun place. You just got the Florida on top of that, so you can't complain about it.
Realistic goals for the midget and the sprint car for 2017. You've obviously coming off a tremendous 2016 season. So this year in 2017, what are the realistic goals, at least for the midget and the sprint car?
I mean, I think realistically we can compete for two championships. But I mean, in all honesty, I don't see a reason why we shouldn't finish in the top three in both series. Just based on, the equipment that we have and of the results we have in the past. So, I'm not one that's ever been really cocky, but I mean, I feel pretty good about this year and the opportunities we have. But I also don't want to get too ahead of myself. I just kind of got to take it one race at a time and go from there.
One last question. When you do have a moment, maybe quiet moment to think about this, do you ever have to pinch yourself a little bit when you look at the quality of rides that you have right now and where you came from?
Yeah. No, it's definitely something that it feels like a dream sometimes, but I feel like I've worked pretty hard to get to this point, and this is something I've always dreamt about, and now I finally get to do it, and I got to take advantage of it and go through myself. So, but yeah, it's definitely pretty unreal. But I'm really looking forward to it. And 2017, I hope, is a really, really good year.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great having you. Great start to your 2017 season. It's going to be fun to watch you as the 2017 season really kicks into full gear. Thank you so much for coming on, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks for Tyler Courtney taking the time out to join us for that interview. Interesting young man, Trevor, is going to be tackling the USAC Trail as one of the favorites to win the championship this year.
Great guy. TJ, you hit on it a little bit at the end there, talking about the Hall of Fame, and just so much maturity for such a young racer. It was great to have an opportunity to talk to Tyler.
Now, Tyler is going to be one of the favorites, but there are other people we're looking at as possible title contenders. Trevor, who do you think has a real shot at it this year?
Well, number one, I think it's going to be Chad Boeselug. Is going to be he's going to be tough to beat. Now, he's in the semi-Hoffman team.
Yeah,
car.
Fielded out of his own shop this year. With the partnered up with the team he was driving for last year with the 9-8 team, but they've teamed up with the Hoffmans, will be carrying the Mean Green sponsorship.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one. He's always good for a couple of victories, and consistency, if nothing else, in some of these long series is going to be the key to picking up a championship.
Yeah, championship wise, I like looking at Justin Grant and the McGee 17. If they can keep that team rolling all year, they had great chemistry at the end of last year. Sam and Justin are really hitting, and if they can keep the team together through the whole season, which has been a challenge on the USAC Tour for a lot of people, they tend to change rides more than the Outlaw guys even do lately. They're going to be title contenders. Grant's a gasser. He had great performance at the Chili Bowl. This
yes,
is top-notch equipment. I think he's going to be one. Now, in the short term, in Ocala, Brady Bacon in the Dueling 63 car. That car with Clausen last year was one of the fastest, if not the fastest, non-wing sprint car in the country. I mean, it's just incredible how good that team was. And Bacon is really good at Ocala. He's won there twice during his career. And even though he's not going to be going for the championship this year, Bacon's going to be a threat every time that 63 car pulls in the pit area.
I'm going to keep an eye on this weekend. Thomas Messerall, the 2016 finale winter, he's running the Rick Colicum 21X. It's going to be fun to watch him. A character,
to say the least. To say the least.
Yeah, he's old school, and it's really fun to listen to him and watch him. And he's going to be my pick for the Winter Dirt Games down there in Florida.
And of course, the Winter Dirt Games available on speedshift.tv for 3 nights. So you can catch all 3 nights on Speedshift pay-per-view if you can't get down to Ocala. And man, it's really starting to crank up right now, Trevor. We've gotten just off the opening weekend of Outlaws, 2 weeks of All-Star Racing, and now we're leading into the non-wing stuff, and things are really picking up around the country.
It's a good time of year.
Yes, it is. That's all I'll say. So, yes, it is. So I'd like to thank Tyler Courtney for being on the show this week. And don't forget to go ahead and subscribe to the podcast via Stitcher, iTunes, in the Google Play Store. Trevor, we survived another week, man.
We made it. We made it.
So thank you for listening and have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Clydeway Podcast.